zero Dallas Cowboys.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for bringing us together once again. And thank you for air conditioning. Praise God. We love your word, Lord, and I just pray that you will open our hearts to hear what you have to say today. In Jesus' name, amen. All of a sudden, I can't talk. I'm not even singing that loud. Goodness. Praise God. Yeah, she brought that water up here. I think I'll be all right. Praise God. I've always been fascinated with words. Sometimes I'll get a word stuck in my head and I can't get rid of that. And it's just, and it could be a stupid, simple word, you know, that nobody would even think about. It's like, where did that come from? Why do we say it that way? And I'll just, it'll be stuck like that for a day in my head until something else comes along. Sometimes I even go to look it up, most of the time not. But words do matter. And there are so many of them. I wonder if you wrote them all down, and if you could write them all down in the sky, would you totally block out the light? If God once thwarted an attempt to build a tower to the sky, the Tower of Babel, and we're trying to do it again with books and paper, I wonder if every word that was spoken, that has been spoken, was spoken all at once, if we'd be deafened by the sound. Everybody has something to say. Everybody's got a soapbox. I wonder, though, how often the contents of our platform could benefit from an application of the former contents of our platform. But it's a whole lot easier to carry that box when it's empty. Word is just a collection of sounds or a collection of letters. It can be heard, seen, even felt. It has no substance, and yet it defines everything we know about. It's a paradox. The same word from one person is priceless, yet the same word spoken by someone else can be worthless. Words can destroy and words can create. They can be a murderer's knife or a surgeon's scalpel. They can be a deadly poison or a healing tonic. But the power of the word is really in the speaker. And yet, we throw them around like trash without any thought to where they might land or what damage they might cause. We expect our words to be believed, and yet we fail to honor them. We hurl them in anger and then act surprised when they come back at us. We see our own wounds and yet fail to see the wounds we cause to others. We grow a thick skin, which is less able to be hurt, but also less able to feel. So if we build with words, where's the foundation? How amazing then that our Creator should choose as one of the ways to define Himself the Word. The Word spoke the earth into existence, created man in His own image. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is life to us through the power of His words. And it is his measure that we use than to judge the worth of all other words. The enigmatic, paradoxical word personified, purified, and glorified is Jesus. So our words matter. They reveal our character, and they should never be treated carelessly. Because he says we will be judged by our words. Now let's turn to the Word of God on the Word. Matthew 12, 33 through 37 will be our passage today. We read this as part of our study last week, if you were here. But I wanted to take a deeper dive into it. So let's start reading in verse 23. Excuse me, 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Every good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an account for it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The context here is important. If you look a few verses back, you find that Jesus has cast out a demon. And the Pharisees were saying, well, he's able to do that through the power of Beelzebul. In other words, what they're saying there is he's really doing that through Satan's power. Satan's letting him do it. That's how come he can cast out the devils. And there's a whole other teaching about that, and you know how Satan can't cast out Satan else he's divided against himself. But we're going to focus on what Jesus said in response. And of course, you have the teaching there about the unpardonable sin and blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And why did he say that? Well, in Mark's version of this account, 3:30, you find that he said that because they were saying he's got an unclean spirit. Well, Jesus has the Holy Spirit. And to reject Jesus is the ultimate blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But he's speaking here to and about the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day who were opposing and rejecting him. But he's speaking in terms that can apply to all of us in some way. Now we talked about the fruit tree analogy last week, and one of the interesting things about this is that Jesus is actually repeating in his illustrations things that John the Baptist had said. And they all knew about John the Baptist and had listened to his teachings. So this would be familiar to them from things that John had already said. So in Jesus kind of validates what John was saying by picking up these same themes. And then, of course, we can go back to chapter 7, what we looked at last week, where we talked about the false prophets and being able to identify the false prophets by their fruit. Then he calls them, you brood of vipers. Or as the Cotton Patch version puts it, you bunch of snakes. But he's also repeating the same insult there that John the Baptist used. And there was a belief there in that time. People thought that baby snakes ate their way out of their mom. So what he's saying to them is, you're destroying your own sustenance. You're destroying your own provision. By rejecting the Messiah, they have rejected the very thing that would give them life. So it's a fitting analogy for those who are destroying that which ought to be sustaining them. Then he talks about the heart, and he says, what's in your heart's what's going to come out your mouth. I don't know about you, but that really makes me stop and think sometimes. And really not have good thoughts about where my heart might really be at, some of the stuff that comes out of my mouth. And it drives me to my knees, at least metaphorically. I don't get on my knees very easy anymore. To talk to the Lord about that. Because, Lord, take that stuff out of my heart. If that's what's in there, I don't want it in there. But Jesus speaks here to the Pharisees, and it's kind of almost a sarcastic thing that he's saying. How can you, being evil, speak what is good? Now, obviously, everything that they said was everything that they taught was not bad. They were teachers of the law. Jesus would later tell the people, you know, do what they tell you, just don't do what they do, because they don't do what they say. They don't do what they teach. So they spoke many things that were good, but as Jesus is almost saying, I don't even know how that's possible, because I know what's in your heart, and here it is coming out in your rejection. But who they really are is being revealed here. And they have openly rejected the one that they should have embraced. And they have attributed his good work to an evil spirit. Then he says, by your words you'll be judged. And of course he's speaking to the Pharisees, but then he broadens it when he puts it in a different way in verse 37 there. Every word that people speak. So he's gone now beyond, you know, what he's saying to them, by your words you'll be condemned, by your words you'll be justified. And of course we also know that it's our confession. It's when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, right, that Jesus Christ is Lord, we shall be saved. But he says every careless word that people speak. And when you look that up, the word there behind careless is worthless or useless, idle, some translations use. Expanded Bible says careless, idle, thoughtless, unhelpful. But it really matters what we say. Strong's uses free from labor, at leisure, lazy, shunning the labor which one ought to perform. Words spoken without consideration would be the way I would define that. You know, we say that talk is cheap, but we've just seen Jesus draw a distinction, and we've just seen Jesus draw a distinction between talk and action, but our talk eventually betrays us. the private words that suddenly become public. We talked last week about the, you know, the open mics. No one can maintain a facade indefinitely. It eventually slips and who you are comes out. Our hearts will be revealed. Thus, by our words, we are condemned. Consider also, we've already talked about Romans 10:9 a little bit. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. With the mouth, confession is made into salvation, it says. The mouth, notice the progression there. You're speaking with your mouth what is already in your heart. When you make that confession of faith, if it's a real confession of faith. And thus, by your words, you are justified. The day of judgment will come for those who did not believe. The books will be opened and every sin will be laid bare. But for those whose names are written in the book of life, all those sins got washed away. Jesus paid the price. Even for your idle words. Isn't that good? Amen. But by this we should know that words matter. The Bible is full of instructions about our words. Of course, the most familiar one to most of us might be James, as he speaks about the tongue. But even in chapter 1, verse 26, he says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. And then in 3:2, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. That tells me only Jesus pulled that off. The Proverbs are full of this kind of wisdom. 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. 15:28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. 10:19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. 11:11, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down. Think politics when I hear that. 16:28, a perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. 12:19. Fruitful lips will be established forever. There you go. I know that's what I did wrong. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. I could go on. There's more. Our words matter. The single best advice I could give just about anyone, I think, is think before you speak. There's another proverb. I will read one more. And we've heard this spoken in a different way. It was borrowed by someone else. I forget who it was that said it the way we probably heard it. But Proverbs 7:28 says, even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. Our words can do harm when they're spoken in anger, when they're simply spoken without forethought. And they can be especially damaging when they're coming from a place of authority, a parent, a grandparent, a teacher, a mentor, a pastor. That's why I pray. That's why, especially in certain situations where I feel like I'm being called upon to offer any sort of advice, I've found that it's usually better just to keep my mouth shut. That whole fool thing, you know. But if I know I've got to say something, I'm constantly praying. Constantly praying, Lord, I won't. I don't have it. I'm very aware most of the time that I don't have the right words and that the Lord's going to have to give them to me. And so I'm constantly praying. You see my lips moving. That's what's going on. I'm praying in my prayer language that the Lord give me the words because I ain't got them. But my final exhortation for you today, may the word be the master of your words from now on. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us your word, that you gave us such a beautiful illustration that shows us how we ought to live and how we ought to speak. Lord, be the master of our words today as we go forward. Let us speak in ways that glorify you and that build each other up and that draw those who do not know you into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.